Hey, this is John Lee Dumas from EO Fire, and you're listening to Elective Rotation with Pharmacy Joe. You must be prepared to ignite.
What's up, Pharmacy Nation? I'm Pharmacy Joe. Thank you for listening to the Elective Rotation, a critical care pharmacy podcast. This is episode 64, How to Identify Drug Fever. In this episode, I'll discuss drug fever and how I identify it. I have all the evidence supporting today's show linked up in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode64. If you know someone who would find this podcast helpful, please share it with them. The Pharmacy Nation Slack group is a free community with other pharmacists from around the world collaborating using real-time messaging. I invite you to join me and the many other Pharmacy Nation members there. You can sign up at pharmacynation.org. Drug fever is a common condition that coincides temporarily with the administration of a drug and disappears after discontinuation of the medication. Unfortunately, it is usually an unclear diagnosis, often made by exclusion. It is just as valuable to the healthcare team for the pharmacist to identify a drug that might be causing a fever as it is to identify when medications are not involved in causing a fever. An excellent review of drug fever was published by Ruchi Patel in Pharmacotherapy 2010. And I have this article linked up in the show notes, pharmacyjoe.com/episode64. A fever often leads clinicians to suspect and treat infection. Now, for this reason, drug fever can lead to overutilization of antibiotics and put a patient at risk of adverse effects and the development of antimicrobial resistance. Drug fever that occurs during the course of treating infection may mislead clinicians into believing that the patient is not responding to treatment for the infection. Drug fever may precede or accompany more serious adverse drug reactions. And a key feature that differentiates drug fever from fever of other causes is that it disappears once the offending drug is discontinued. Many medications have been implicated in drug fever. I discussed at pharmacyjoe.com/episode27 how dexmedetomidine has been associated with drug fever. And in episode 40, I discussed severe hyperthermia from serotonin syndrome, malignant hyperthermia, and neuroleptic malignant syndrome. The most frequent drugs implicated in drug fever are antimicrobials, anticonvulsants like carbamazepine and phenytoin, antiarrhythmic agents, especially procainamide and quinidine, and other cardiac agents. In the show notes, I have a list of other medications that may cause drug fever. Identifying drug fever is complicated because fever can be a characteristic of many disease processes other than infection, including malignancy, thromboembolic disease, cerebrovascular accidents, collagen vascular diseases, acute gout, surgery, and trauma. To identify drug fever, I review the patient's clinical presentation, current medications, and lab values. Drug fever may occur at any point during a course of drug therapy. The median time between initiation of the offending agent and onset of fever is 7 to 10 days. Now, for the four most common classes that cause drug fever, the median and mean times of fever onset are quite different. For antineoplastics, the median onset is half a day with a mean of 6 days. For antimicrobials, the median onset of drug fever is 6 days with a mean of 7.8 days. For the central nervous system agents, median onset 16 days with a mean of 18 and a half. And for cardiovascular agents, the median onset of drug fever is 10 days with a mean of 44.7 days. Now, there are various patterns of fever that occur in patients, and those are continuous fever, when body temperature is consistently elevated, remittent fever, when elevated body temperature is interrupted by daily normal fevers, and hectic fever, which is a combination of continuous and remittent patterns. And most commonly, drug fever manifests with a hectic fever pattern. So that is something that I look for. Elevated temperatures of 102 to 104 Fahrenheit or 39 to 40 Celsius are most common, but they can range from 99 to 109 degrees Fahrenheit or 38 to 43 degrees Celsius. Patients with drug fever will usually appear inappropriately well for the degree of fever that they have, and they're also often unaware that they have a fever. Relative bradycardia occurs when the heart rate does not increase to the extent that typically accompanies the temperature elevation, and this can be another sign that drug fever is present. To determine the presence of relative bradycardia, a temperature of at least 102 degrees Fahrenheit is required, and there should not be any sinus disease or any drugs that affect the heart rate being given concomitantly. Take the last digit of the temperature in Fahrenheit, subtract 1, multiply this by 10, then add 100. If the patient's heart rate is less than this number, the patient has relative bradycardia. For example, for a temperature of 102 degrees Fahrenheit, the appropriate pulse response would be approximately 110 beats per minute. So any value less than this would be considered relative bradycardia. If you know of a formula for relative bradycardia using Celsius, please let me know at pharmacyjoe.com/contact or just send me an email, joe@pharmacyjoe.com. Approximately 1 in 4 patients with drug fever also have cutaneous manifestations. Now, this rash may be maculopapular or urticarial in nature. I've never considered laboratory findings particularly helpful when trying to identify drug fever. It's possible that leukocytosis, eosinophilia, elevated erythrocyte sedimentation rate, elevated hepatic transaminase, and elevated lactic dehydrogenase levels may or may not be present in the setting of drug fever. Now, if a drug is suspected as the cause of fever, it should be stopped and an alternative medication should be used if needed. The resolution of fever should occur within 72 hours. So in summary, to identify drug fever, examine the patient's clinical condition, current medications, and laboratory findings. Then stop the suspect medications and monitor for fever resolution. Suggest alternative medications if needed for the drug that was discontinued. Listeners can support the show when they shop using my link to Amazon. It will cost you no extra money, and I will receive a small commission from Amazon. Just use my link, pharmacyjoe.com/shop, to take you to Amazon each time you shop. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you in the next episode of the Elective Rotation.